You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G. D-O-D-G-E-R-S-T.
Hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join Vince and me weekly to get in on the action. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. Locked On Dodgers is the daily podcast covering the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I am Jeff Snyder, Baseball Essential, flying solo today. I believe Vince was at the game tonight. Turns out we didn't communicate very well, so I haven't actually gotten a confirmation from Vince that I am going solo tonight. But if you're listening to this, it turns out I was. So today I'm going to talk about the Dodgers lost to the Padres 3-2. It was continued the streak of the poor offense. We're going to talk a little bit about the game. Chris Taylor and Zach McKinstry were both scratched late with lower back soreness. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Going to talk a little bit about Blake Treinen. He got the loss and struggled a little bit. So going to talk a little bit about him. And then I'm going to talk about why I want to punch Trent Grisham in the face and why that's a good thing. But first, I want to remind you, go ahead and follow Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, I guess let's talk about Taylor and McKinstry first. Both of them going down with lower back soreness, which was what sidelined Mookie Betts a while back. It was nice to have Mookie back in the lineup, but it's a little bit concerning. I don't know. I'd be interested to hear what you guys think. Actually, I wish this was a locker room episode. But I would be interested to know what you think if this is having three guys from one team miss games because of lower back soreness. Is that something that they can fix, or is it just a fluke and a coincidence? They're flying. Maybe they're not used to traveling as much. I don't know. It's hard to say what it could be, but either way, losing Taylor and McKinstry against Weathers. So they ended up with Noisy and Rayleigh in the lineup, and it wasn't terrible. Noisy hit his first career home run. It was a big home run at the time. It tied the game. Rayleigh had what should have been two hits, but the umpires decided that the first one will be one of like 1% of calls where they actually call the guy out for running inside the baseline. So missing Taylor and McKinstry, and I think where they missed them the most was actually in the ninth inning when Rayleigh's spot in the lineup came up, the pitcher's spot came up in the lineup, and the only pinch hitter they had available was Austin Barnes. And so Austin Barnes came up and struck out because, sometimes that happens. The Dodgers currently are, I think, 0-15 in pinch hitting opportunities this year, so it's ugly. But it would have been nice to have Taylor or McKinstry available in that inning. Instead, Mark Melancon struck out the side, which just baffles me. Like, I know he's good. I know he's been playing for a long time. He's an all-star. He's been a closer for a long time. I just feel like he sucks, and I feel like striking out the side, Rayleigh, okay, Barnes, okay, but Mookie, come on, Mookie. So it was a frustrating game overall. The Dodgers do continue their streak of not being shut out, thanks to back-to-back homers by A.J. Pollock and Sheldon Noisy. But overall, it was an ugly game. On the bright side, Walker Buehler looked great. He went seven innings. I think he threw 101 pitches, struck out nine batters. He also had a hit, had the Dodgers' only hit at the time that he left the game. At least the Dodgers bailed him out so he didn't get a loss for his efforts. He looked really good. The Padres bunched together three singles in the whatever inning, third or fourth inning, for a run. And then Trent Grisham hit a monster home run. And that was it. Buehler looked great the rest of the game, so that's a good sign. This Dodgers team is very good offensively, and so you have to think that the offense is going to break out, and most of the time, if Buehler goes seven and allows two runs, he's going to get a win out of the deal. The Dodgers are going to get a win out of the deal. And we're just going to have to weather this storm of bad offense, and hopefully some health will come soon. Hopefully Taylor McKinstry will be available soon. Gavin Lux should be back on Monday, I think. And then, you know, Cody Bellinger's the only one left out, and we still don't have really any update on him. Bellinger himself said, yeah, people told me I might wake up one morning and it'll just be better. So, you know, it might be one of those things where we wait and wait and wait and don't hear anything, and then suddenly he's back. So I still have no idea what to expect from Bellinger as far as when he's going to be back. But all in all, it wasn't an ideal way to start a series against the Padres. You know, the World Series is tied up now, 2-2. The Dodgers have three more. Basically need to win 2 out of 3 to win this early season World Series. And, you know, when you think about it, though, the fact that the Dodgers are going through a really, really bad offensive slump and they're still 14-5 and 4 games ahead of the Padres, who, you know, whatever the Giants might do, the Padres are the main competition in the division this year, I assume. And so the Dodgers can weather this storm, hopefully pull out a couple victories this weekend, whether it's because the offense wakes up or because the pitching picks them up. But either way, Dodgers are going to be okay, but it's really not a fun time. And I saw a lot of that sentiment on Twitter. It's, you know, people get frustrated when games don't go well. And it's, I've never used the word embarrassing talking about my favorite team. I feel like, I don't know. Yeah, and some of you might, so I don't want this to be a criticism of you. I feel like maybe a little bit more perspective when people say they are embarrassed by the way their favorite team is playing, maybe they're putting a little bit too much stock in their favorite team. And I know I cried when the Dodgers won the World Series too. But you know, there's nothing for you to be embarrassed about the Dodgers struggling against major league pitching once in a while. So just remember that, it doesn't reflect poorly on you at all. You're going to be okay. So, yeah, that'll be all right. All right, I think that's enough about that. I'm going to come back in a minute. I'm going to talk about Blake Treinen and, you know, his appearance and kind of some overarching thoughts about him. And then later I'm going to talk about punching Trent Grisham. So keep it locked on, Dodgers. This year, the Locked On Podcast Network is partnering with the Draft Network to cover the NFL Draft live. Get insight and analysis from Locked On local experts and the Draft Network's national experts. Subscribe to the Locked On NFL YouTube page to watch the live 3-day coverage of the NFL Draft, April 29th through May 1st. All right, I'm back. I'm going to talk a little bit about Blake Treinen. He got the loss in tonight's game. He came in and just kind of got death by 1,000 paper cuts, you know, I think that's a saying. And Joe and Oral talked about that, you know, it's this soft contact that's really killing him. And he's been giving up a lot of that soft contact this year. He has been missing more bats, which is good. Last year, we talked a lot about how Blake Treinen needs to miss bats to be effective. And he has missed more bats this year, which is a really good thing. But what we saw tonight was what happens when he doesn't miss bats. And that's his contact rate this year is 74.5%, which is down from 78.1% last year. It's right around where it was in 2019 when he struggled with the A's. 2018, when he was really good, his contact rate was 65.8% for comparison. That's where elite Blake Treinen is at 65.8%. He was at 74.5% coming into tonight's game, and that obviously went up. Other things that went up, coming into tonight, he had a 400 BABIP against him, and that went up also. I don't know exactly where. I haven't crunched the numbers, but it definitely went up. And one of the things that really jumped out at me is he is getting a lot of soft contact, but his hard contact rate is up too. And that's the scare part, because really, like, soft contact is infuriating when it drops in, but that's what soft contact does sometimes. We saw it in Game 4 of the World Series last year against Kenley. We see it a lot. And so soft contact drops in. Hard contact obviously has a better chance of falling. So medium contact is kind of what you want, and that's what's way down for Treinen. Like, his career low in medium contact percentage is 45%, and that was in his really bad 2019 year. This year it's at 33%. Coming into tonight's game, and that might have gone down too, because I don't think there was any or much medium contact. It was soft. And so, you know, it just kind of goes to underscore that he needs to get the swing and miss, because nobody ever gets on base. Well, not never. Almost never gets on base when they're swinging and missing. It just, you know, that's your best chance to keep somebody off the bases, is make them strike out, make them swing and miss. And one thing that really jumped out at me is Trinan's overall swing percentage is down, and his overall outside the zone, the O swing percentage outside the zone, is way down. And that's the first, you know, I think when Trinan is at his best, he's getting guys to swing at pitches outside the zone. If you look at 2018, his great season, 42.8% of pitches he threw outside the zone, hitters were swinging at. This year is 28.6%. So his overall swing percentage is down from, you know, 53.2 at its peak in 2018 when he was great, to 44.7 this year. So batters just aren't swinging as much. And when they are, they're making contact better. Like I said, 74.5%. And so I don't know what the answer is, because Trinan, he has good stuff. He's throwing 99 miles an hour. He seems to have movement. I don't know what it is, if it's a command thing. He's definitely been walking more batters this year, and so that hints that maybe the command isn't where you might want it to be. I don't know if it's a, you know, a sequencing thing where he's not throwing the right pitches at the right time. But I feel like for Blake Trinan to be successful, he needs to get more swing and miss. And like I said, there has been more this year than last year, but still not nearly as much as when he was elite. And I hope that, you know, it's the same thing that we've said with Kenley. He needs to be getting swing and miss for him to be elite. Trinan's the same way. Gratterall's the same way. They haven't figured out how to get Gratterall getting the swing and miss yet. And so it's an interesting conundrum that Mark Pryor and, you know, that whole pitching coaching staff has to work on, because if they could get Trinan with his stuff missing bats, and we saw they've done it with Dustin May this year, he's missing more bats. Walker Buehler hadn't been striking out many guys, but coming in tonight, but he struck out 9. So, you know, I think it's possible. I think it's maybe even likely that Trinan starts missing more bats, but we saw tonight what happens when he doesn't, and it can be really, really infuriating. All right, I think that's it for Trinan. I don't want to harp on the guy too much. So I'm going to take one last break. And when I come back, I'm going to talk about Trent Grisham and why his face just is screaming at me to punch it. So keep it locked on, Dodgers. We've been talking to you about Built Bar for a long time. Built Bar is, simply put, the best tasting protein bar ever. The other night when we were recording the podcast and Vince was doing a Built Bar ad, while he talked, I actually went to BuiltBar.com and I used promo code LOCKED15 and I got 15% off, because guess what? The coconut brownie chunk Built Bar is back, and my wife and my son and my mom all love that thing. So I went in and bought 2 boxes of it, and I used promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off, which is exactly what you ought to do. They have a lot of other delicious flavors. If the coconut brownie crunch doesn't appeal to you, which I have to tell you, my mom doesn't actually like coconut flavor stuff, and she loves that one. So I'm actually going to try it. I haven't tried it yet because I don't like coconut, but I'm going to try it because my mom has said that it's really good. But they have a ton of other flavors, like 18 flavors. They all have chocolate. They're all very low calorie, low sugar, low carb, high protein, high fiber. Basically everything you could want. It's like a candy bar, except it's healthy for you. And like I said, if you go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, you will get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. The Ultimate Mock Draft 2021, presented by Locked On and Odyssey, is happening now. Featuring analysis from NFL experts Michael Irvin, Jason LaConfora, and Brian Baldinger. Our local experts for every team, making trades and picking the next stars of their team. Search the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 on the new Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Odyssey is your home for all the sports, podcasts, music, and news that matter to you. That's Audacy. All right, last segment here. Trent Grisham hit a home run off Walker Buehler. Some people were upset. Grisham kind of spit towards the Dodgers dugout on his way towards home plate. Didn't bother me any more than everything else that Grisham does bothers me. He's just got a face. Like when he is 80 years old and has lost all his teeth from chewing tobacco, he's going to look exactly the same as he does now. He's just got that face like, what's wrong with your face, man? And I know, I don't believe in making fun of people's appearances, especially if, like, Charlie Blackman's appearance, I'll make fun of because he did that to himself. You know, Trent Grisham, he was born ugly. It's not his fault. But that's not even what I'm here to talk about. It's the, you know, when I say I want to punch him in the face, it's not because of his ugly face. There are a lot of ugly people I haven't punched, and I will continue to not punch people just for being ugly. But Trent Grisham, you know, we talk a lot about this Dodgers Padres quote unquote rivalry, whether it's a rivalry, what that means. And I think I finally distilled it down earlier today. I was reading a conversation on Twitter about that, and I think what I've decided is what it comes down, I don't think the teams need to be good, but the teams and their fans need to care. And that's where this year and maybe last year, it's hard to tell because there weren't fans in the stands last year, but the teams definitely started caring last year. And the fans, you know, Padre fans are showing up to Dodgers Padres games in San Diego, which hasn't happened in a long, long time. And so if the fans start to care and the teams start to care, that's what can make this a rivalry. And I was thinking one of the key elements of any rivalry is having somebody you want to punch on that other team. You know, with the Giants, it was Madison Bumgarner. It was Juan Marichal back when, you know, my dad was a kid. You know, there's always been these guys that you just want to punch. You know, Pablo Sandoval, oh my gosh. Like, you know, and so having those guys who you just hate. And that's part of why, like, when I was a kid, like, I know the Dodgers and Giants were rivals. I didn't really care. Like, they weren't really competing much. They didn't have really anybody that I hated. You know, I even liked Will Clark, okay. You know, Kevin Mitchell was kind of fun to watch. You know, Matt Williams, I guess, was pretty punchable. But all in all, it was just like, eh. But, you know, the Giants with Madison Bumgarner, and Pablo Sandoval, it's like, yeah, that's some punchability. And, you know, greasy-haired Brandon Crawford, like, I could go for a punch in that guy's face. And so when I'm thinking about the Dodgers-Padres, one of the things they need is that punchability. Obviously, Manny Machado, with his history of playing for the Dodgers and, you know, maybe not playing his hardest all the time, you know, playing dirty sometimes, making the Dodgers look bad with his play on Aguilar in the NLCS in 2018. You know, a lot of different things. Manny Machado is one of those guys. But, like, Tatis is really likable. Like, you know, obviously it's fun to watch him struggle and be bad. But he's also likable. But Grisham is just a guy who you look at him and you're like, yeah, I hate that guy. And that's important. That's good. That makes for better baseball. When you have somebody, you know, when you're rooting hard for your team, that's awesome. But when there's somebody else on the other team that you're like, yeah, I hate that guy. That, like, adds something to it. And there's not, you know, for me, there's not many players in baseball who I can say I hate. And part of that is because, you know, I'm a big baseball fan in general, but I'm a Dodger fan. And especially as I get older, I have more responsibilities with my kids and everything. It's like, I don't have time to watch as much baseball as I used to. And so I mostly just watch the Dodgers. So whoever the Dodgers are playing. And, you know, most of the time who the Dodgers are playing, it's like, okay, I care about this team today because it's who the Dodgers need to beat in order to get a win today. But overall, I don't care. You know, the Nationals, okay, I don't really care, you know. The Braves, like, even though, like, when I was a kid, the Braves were my least favorite team when I was a teenager, because, you know, the Braves and Dodgers were division rivals in the early 90s. And, like, Dave Justice, ooh, that guy was punchable. And Mark Lemke, like, oh man. So, you know, and you need that. And so, you know, like I said, I don't hate a lot of people. So for me to have a guy like Trent Grisham, it's important to me. And if this is going to turn into a rivalry, which we won't know for another year or two, I don't think, we may look back and say 2020, 2021, that's when the rivalry started. But it needs to last a few years of Padre fans actually showing up to Dodgers Padres games before I'm going to accept it as a rivalry. And it's fine if you disagree on that, because rivalry is one of those words that nobody has the same definition for it. And so every argument about is this a rivalry or not is actually just an argument about how do you define the word rivalry, and that's boring. So I'm not saying you shouldn't think it's rivalry, but for me, not until it lasts a couple years. But if it's going to, Trent Grisham is a really good part of that, because he is a guy who we can all come together as Dodger fans and say, man, I hope that guy just, you know, I don't wish permanent injury on him, anything, but I want him to strike out every time he's up. I want him to be sad about it. I want him to get mad and yell at the umpire and get himself tossed. I want him to take that toothless face and, you know, I'm not actually going to punch Trent Grisham, just in case anybody's wondering, but punchability is important in any rivalry. So that's what I'm getting at. So I'd love to hear what you guys think. Are there other punchable Padres, you know, that Jake Cronenworth, like, I wish he was punchable, but he's just good and boring. And so it's like, yeah, he's not that punchable. Jurickson Profar for sure punchable. But part of that is just because of what he did with Kershaw. And so, but Grisham, it's like, Grisham could not do anything and he would just be punchable. And like one of my favorite moments from last year was when Chris Taylor threw Grisham out at the plate to end that game. It's like, oh, I love seeing that guy mad. So anyway, I want to punch Trent Grisham, but I won't. And maybe it's going to be a rivalry someday. That's the summary for this segment. And I think that's going to do it for today. A little bit shorter episode. I hope that's okay, guys. Going into the weekend, you know, hopefully the Dodgers can win two or three of the next three games against the Padres and you know, kind of bounce back offensively. That's what they need. They need to get things going offensively, right that ship, and hopefully head into the end of April with a decent lead in the division and rolling on all cylinders. That's not a phrase. Firing on all cylinders? That's probably more like it. But whatever they need to do with cylinders, I hope they're doing it. And, you know, Vince and I will be here on Monday to talk with you again. If you haven't yet followed Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts, please do that. If you have Apple Podcasts, even if you don't use it, go ahead and follow us there. That will help other people find us. Obviously, if you want to leave us a 5-star review, we would love that. And tell your friends and family about us. And maybe if you're not listening every day, add one or two days a week to your rotation. That would be super. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Semperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog. And the DMs are open in all of those places. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com. And our phone number for voicemails or texts is 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you on Monday.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs. They're my Los Angeles. Your Los Angeles. Our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant?